Multi-drug resistant and extensively drug resistant forms of tuberculosis are spreading at an alarming rate in Europe. The World Health Organization today said the disease will kill thousands of people unless health authorities halt the pandemic. WHO has launched a new regional plan to find, diagnose, and treat cases of the airborne infectious disease more effectively. Lydia O'Kane spoke to Luchika Ditiu, executive secretary of the Stop TB Partnership, who explained why drug-resistant tuberculosis is increasing.
So I am representing the partnership, which is a structure which has more than 1,000 partners, and in which, you know, WHO is the biggest and like the leading technical partner. And in line with that, I will tell you some figures globally, and then I'll tell you some figures European level. Globally, we are looking at around four. So the situation with multi-drug resistant is that the figures that we have are based on what countries are reporting. And then based on modeling, we are estimating how much are expected to exist in the world. So in the world, we expect to have around 440,000 MDR-TB cases. Unfortunately, this is what is estimated because what is reported is much less. Out of this 400, because countries have limited capacity in diagnosis and treatment of MDR-TB cases, out of these 440,000 MDR-TB cases, 81,000 are estimated to be in the European region. Out of these 81,000 estimated, so we assume that these are existing, unfortunately, only a little bit more than 30,000 were reported as cases last year, and less than 17,000 out of these 30,000 are having access to proper treatment and diagnosis. So the situations are alarming, first of all, because countries are missing the capacity to diagnose and treat the cases, but also because the cases which are left untreated somewhere in the society are not only suffering themselves and their families, but also contribute, unfortunately, to an increase in the number of cases for the future, because the figures that we use is that every person that is having TB and is not diagnosed or treated and continues to cough can infect up to 10 people per year. So this will go to an amplification of a problem if we don't act now.
Tell me, why is TB becoming drug-resistant?
The drug-resistant tuberculosis is a man-made problem. That's the cruel aspect of it, is that we created, to say so. We, meaning all together, patients and doctors, and even the society. So that's because a patient who has a normal TB is either... So it goes in two ways. First is an evolution of a poorly treated normal TB. And when I say poorly treated, means either that the drugs that are giving are not in the right combination, so it's not the right, there are not the right drugs, either that there is a too weak regimen for the treating TB, either that the quality of the drugs that we are giving is doubtful or very poor, so then instead of we think that we give to a patient four drugs, which is the right combination, and actually he takes two or one only. And then as well because the patients, if the duration of a normal TB treatment is 6 months, if the patient is not properly followed, there is a huge tendency of dropping out of the treatment after a few months, a couple of months of treatment, and this leads as well to creation of MDR-TB. So it's very poorly managed treatment of tuberculosis, but as well another angle is related to the fact that you can become infected with MDR-TB by the lack of infection control measures, either in hospitals or in other venues, through cases that are not detected and spread the disease.
So what's causing this severe resurgence of tuberculosis?
So it's a combination of factors. I would say that in Western Europe, there are two things that are happening. One is related to the fact that it was this perception that TB maybe disappeared or, you know, is not an issue anymore. And therefore, the doctors are not thinking about TB anymore. It's very difficult. The diagnosis is not made in time. Usually, the patients are suspected and start a treatment for other type of pulmonary disease, and they go a lot in circles till they are diagnosed for TB months, and in the meantime they infect others. So it's the lack of awareness, I would say, very broadly, in Western Europe, both in the health workers and the staff and in the patients, that they will think that, okay, I cough. One of the first things to think about is TB. And this was happening like 40, 50 years ago, but now it disappeared. The second thing is that TB is an airborne disease, and none of us is can avoid it, and we are all at risk because it's airborne. So it has no borders. And now with a lot of movements between countries, it's very easy to transmit it and to move around. It can be transmitted in the airplanes. It can be transmitted in the trains. In the public spaces, if they are shared long time enough and there is no ventilation in there. So that's one aspect, referring mainly to the Western Europe, but that applies very well to parts of Eastern Europe as well. In the Eastern Europe, we have a reservoir, to say so, of some TB cases that we might need to, you know, to properly enroll and treat. It was and it remains a problem in some of the countries, and we have some of the high burden countries in the European region and high MDR burden countries in the European region with whom we work a bit more, and we try to give more attention in order to address the MDR-TB issue.
When you talk about countries, are you mainly talking about Eastern European countries, or are you talking about also tuberculosis on different continents as well?
So TB, and you know, it what we have is TB was somehow neglected, or people, as I said, thought that it's just a disease that disappeared. We have, just to give you an example, we have globally more than 9 million cases of tuberculosis estimated to exist. Out of this, we are able to detect around 5.6 million cases, so of normal TB. So we have somewhere in the world 4 million cases of tuberculosis which are non-detected, and these are, I speak here of the global figures. We have TB globally, and it's a global problem. There is not a place where we say we were able even to get close to eliminating TB. So each country is confronted with big numbers of TB. The trend, it looks like we are, unfortunately, with all the sustained efforts over the last 5 years, we are plateauing, to say so. We don't see a decrease. So we speak about it globally. Now, on this big pool of number of TB patients, there are countries contributing more than others. And we have, also depending on their huge populations, because, you know, India is contributing with a big number of cases, and that's obviously because of the high population that they have. Basically, it's like around India has like 17%, I think, of the world population and contributes like 22% of the entire number of the TB cases in the world. But it's not only India. We have 22 high-burden countries for TB globally. But as I said, unfortunately, all countries in the world are having TB. And there are no countries that are even approaching or getting closer to eliminating it. In terms of MDR-TB, we have it as well globally. There are 27 high-burden countries that are contributing, that all 27 in the world are representing like 80% of all MDR-TB burden. And unfortunately, 15 of these 27 MDR-TB countries are in our WHO European region. So TB is a problem globally. Each continent has their issues. In WHO European region, the biggest issue that if it will be properly addressed, and we are very confident that it will happen with the new MDR-TB plan, is the MDR-TB problem.
What can people do to protect themselves?
So, first of all, is that they should be aware that tuberculosis didn't disappear. They should be aware that, interesting, in Western European countries, the numbers are not decreasing. In some of the places, are even increasing. So, they should be aware that TB exists. Then, The second thing is that to be aware of the symptoms, and the symptoms are not rocket science. So if you are having TB, you cough, and you cough, your cough is pretty dry. It's not the cough of a productive cough. It's pretty dry and annoying. Then you are losing weight. You are having sweating. You are sweating during night, especially during night, and you feel weak. So basically, knowing the symptoms, or you know, that's the first thing. The second thing is to observe if people in the entourage of others and so on is is coughing or so. And the best way of preventing the transmission is as soon as somebody is coughing to be properly diagnosed and put on treatment. Because if you are not put on treatment, you spread it. And as I said, you can infect up to 10 people around you in a year. If you are put on treatment, in around 2-3 weeks of treatment, you are non-infectious anymore. So that's stopped. So the best way is, okay, TB is still here. We have a big problem with it in Europe. We have a big problem with it in the world. Whomever coughs should go and check his symptoms and take the treatment.
What does the plan entail?
So basically what's happening is that when somebody is coming and presents with a cough, then you make a diagnosis from the sputum. And then from the diagnosis in the sputum, there is a very old-fashioned way of diagnosing, which is using the microscopy. There are new methods now. We have a new diagnosis tool called GeneXpert, which is ensuring a diagnosis in 90 minutes. And it tells you if you have TB, but also if you are resistant to one of the drugs, rifampin, that is like the strongest drug. So you make a proper diagnosis. These are not the only methods. There is a culture, which is another traditional method, which tells you exactly on what drugs you are resistant, not only rifampin, all of them. So then based on these results, a treatment is started and is tailored to each person. Now, the difficulties are two. First is to ensure that people are having access to the diagnosis, as I said, either because of the lack of knowledge or the lack of access, which might mean they are poor, they are stigmatized, they are vulnerable, or they lack the knowledge, the diagnosis might be delayed. That's one. The second is that the treatment itself for MDR-TB is not an easy one. First of all, the drugs that are to be taken, the second-line drugs, are giving a lot of side effects. So the person has to take the treatment for 2 years. The treatment is not only long, but it's also very, very difficult and very difficult to tolerate it. So people are having huge nausea, vertige, depression, suicidal tendencies. So it's really difficult to stay enrolled for 2 years with this kind of symptoms. Anyone will say, listen, I will give up. I cannot take it anymore. But the drugs themselves, that's when you have the drugs and that's when you have access to them. But there is a very tragic situation when the patients in countries that are not having enough funds are actually having no access to drugs. So basically they are quietly and dying or spreading the disease or suffering in silence with their friends and families. And that's because the cost of the MDR-TB treatment is huge. If for the drugs of a normal TB treatment, you can pay $25 for 6 months of treatment, it's very cheap. For the drugs for the MDR-TB treatment, what we have now is $5,000 per patient for 2 years. So this is a huge number because we speak here just of drugs. We don't add here the diagnosis, the hospitalization, all the other costs. Per patient as they should be. And if you add these kind of things, the treatment can go, for example, we learned that here in UK it can go up to £100,000 or even more than that. So it's a terrible cost for the society and for the country when this situation is happening. And therefore, in many countries, they cannot afford the costs, this kind of cost.
What are your hopes for this plan? What do you hope to see coming out of it?
So what we hope is we hope two things, that actually, and WHO European region, which is leading this plan and all the work on it, is discussing and endorsing this plan with the ministers during the regional committee in Baku tomorrow. We hope, first of all, that ministers will take it seriously and will start implementing it. And we have all the grounds to believe that, because when it was developed, it was a heavy involvement of the member states and of other stakeholders in making it. But the bottom line is that it is not only that the countries will start implementing it, and it's the fact that if properly done, this will lead to saving people's lives. And the estimation is to have around 120,000 lives saved by 2015, and also averting additional infections, estimated at around 250,000 MDR-TB cases and 13,000 XDR-TB cases. So there are hopes that are measured, and I think that's what we should all think about in human lives and in human suffering.